Let's look in the Word of the Lord, if you would turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to St. Mark in chapter 2. Gospel according to St. Mark in chapter 2, if you'll turn with me, please, in your Bibles. It's a privilege to be in the house of God this morning. We're grateful to get to be here and be a part of the meeting. We're thankful for all that's been done this morning already, for the good Sunday school lesson, for the great week that we've had in camp meeting, and for the Lord letting us once again be in the fellowship of God's people. And I am glad to get to be in the house of God. Nobody had to get me up this morning and twist my arm to make me come to church. Now, I just about had to twist my own arm to get up. But getting up is the hard part, and getting to church is the good part. And I'm thankful that I am in the house of the Lord here today. So glad to be saved and thankful to know the Lord and glad to see you. I pray seated and in order at the house of God here today. We're looking in Mark chapter 2. If you have found your place, if you are able and willing, I would invite you to stand with us and we'll reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord. One of my very favorite portions of Scripture, but then again, y'all hear me say that a lot. And this is one of my very favorite portions of the Word of the Lord. And we went through this in the book of Mark when we were preaching on those things that Christ wanted for us in every chapter of the book of Mark. In Mark chapter 2, He wants you to know. He wants us to know, and we're going to see this morning in the message and sort of look at it in light of this series we've been preaching about walking with God. Beginning chapter 2, verse number 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? The answer is nobody. That's why it was important for him to forgive this man's sins, that they might know that he was God the Son of God. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. You can be seated this morning. Thank you graciously for standing with us while I read the Word of the Lord. The Lord being our helper this morning for a few moments, I want to try to preach on one born of four walked in forgiveness with the Lord. One born of four, this lame man walked in forgiveness with the Lord. We began this study talking about Adam walking with the voice of the Lord. And now for 16 weeks, this is the 17th of our installments in this message. We deal with this one who is born of four, walking in forgiveness with the Lord. You remember last week, Jairus' daughter walked in new life with the Lord. And then this morning, one born of four walks in forgiveness with the Lord. This man's story is included in our text here in Mark chapter 2. And also in Matthew chapter 9 and in Luke chapter 5. But the details in Mark are far more extensive than in the other accounts. We're given very little in terms of details either about this man or the circumstance or those surrounding him in Matthew 9 and Luke 5. They just tell about the lame man being healed. But all of the pieces that are surrounding that account are put together in the gospel according to St. Mark in this account. There is one other lame man that is healed in the Gospels as well. That is in John chapter 5. The man by the pool of Bethesda who sat there for 38 years until Jesus came and said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" He said, "I would, but every time that I would," said the angel, "comes down at a certain season, troubles the water, and the first one in gets the opportunity to be made whole of whatever disease." And he said, "When the angel troubles the water, I have no man to help me in. And so I've been sitting here all this time waiting for my opportunity to be made whole." And Jesus says unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And he did just that. He rose, he took up his bed, and he walked, full obedience. Boy, I'm thankful for that. I'm glad he didn't just rise and say, "I'm not going to do the rest of it." But he obeyed the Lord. He rose, he took up his bed, and he walked. And when some asked him who had done this, he said, "That man Jesus did it." They said, "Do you even know who he is?" He said, "I don't know who he is." And Jesus saw him later in the temple and said unto him, said that he introduced himself unto this man. And that man worshipped the Lord Jesus. And the Lord said unto him, said, "Go thy way and sin no more, lest some more horrible thing, lest some worse thing come upon thee." Now, besides their lameness, besides their inability to walk, there is one other commonality between these two men. Both of them had a sin problem that Jesus had to deal with. In the case of this man in Mark chapter 2, the first thing the Lord says is, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." In the case of that man in John chapter 5, he says, "Sin no more, lest some worse thing come upon thee." Well, I'm telling you, friend, sin is a worse thing than the palsy. Both of these men had an obvious need in the body, but Jesus looked through all of that, all the way to the greater need in their souls. And I'm going to tell you today that Jesus sees the real need you have on the inside. Maybe you have a physical need. I'm sure there's people all across the building this morning have physical needs. And the Lord knows, I pray about my physical needs. The Lord wants us to pray about our physical needs. Maybe you have a mental or emotional need, and the Lord in heaven knows how badly I need that. I need help. My mind not to be wrong. I pray God would help me get my mind right. That He commanded us to do it. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. The battle is on the mind. The world and the devil wars against the mind. Oh, but my friend, greater than any physical need, or greater than any mental or emotional need, greater than any family need or financial need, is the spiritual need of man. The need of man down in his soul to have his sin problem dealt with. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Hallelujah. In our text, the Lord said that he did this according to verse 10. He said, "I have done it this way, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Jesus wanted them to see this man healed, to show his power. But he addressed this sin that all may know he had the power to forgive sins. Whenever he tells the lame man, "Get up and take your bed and walk around," everybody knew Jesus had power. But when Jesus said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee," that let everybody know he had power to forgive sins. You need to not only know that Jesus is powerful, you need to know that he's personally powerful enough to deal with your sin problem. It's not just that he has power to create the world. I believed that when I was just a little boy in Sunday school. I'd have fought somebody over God having created the heavens and the earth. He has power to do these things. I believe he had power, friend, to make all things. I believe he had power to send the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. I believe he had power to help the church to supply the needs of my family. But there came a night that I had to believe he was personally powerful in dealing with my sin problem. And Jesus showed them his power in making the lame legs to walk, and then told them of his power in his authority to deal with their sin problem. And you see, I don't know, I've been studying this portion of scripture at least for 30 years plus. I've been preaching on it now for 30 years plus. Been studying it
probably for over 40 years. And I've been preaching on it. The first time I remember preaching on it, I was 13 years old. And that's about as far back in the ministry as I can go, because that's when I started. And I've been trying to preach on it since then, again and again. Some of y'all have heard me preach on it so much you're tired of listening. But tune in this morning. The Lord helped me with something in this chapter that I have never seen or heard anybody else say anything about. And that's amazing. It's a testimony to the greatness of this book. And that by friend, that day when the Lord said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee," and said, "I've done it this way, that ye," that is all of this crowd here, "may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," he does this way because, as best I can tell, there's only one crippled man there that day. There's only one man there that has lame legs. Nobody else needed to be healed of lameness, of the palsy, to rise and walk. But there's a whole lot of sinners there that day. Everybody didn't have the lame problem, but they all had the same problem. Amen. They all had a sin problem. And I'm telling you, friend, Jesus wanted them to know, "I didn't just come to cause the lame legs to walk, but I came to take the sin problem away from them. That is my greater purpose. The lame legs walking is just a sign that you may believe that the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sin. That's what I'm really come for." And I'm telling you today, Jesus came to deal with your sin problem and mine. Oh, how many sinners, every person there that day, had needed to know that Jesus could deal with a sin problem. And there is only one man, my friend, that has been empowered to deal with it. And it's the same man who would cause the lame legs to walk. He had the power to forgive sins. It was a testimony to us when one born of four stood on his lame legs and took up his bed and he walked in forgiveness with the Lord. And so this morning, that's what I want to try to share with you. Walking in forgiveness, or one born of four walked in forgiveness with the Lord. And now I just have four little things this morning in this little message, and maybe a few things about those four things that I want to share with you. Notice, first of all, there's something happening in the house. There is something happening in the house. In verses 1 and 2, the Bible tells us about it. At verse number 1, I like what he says. "And again he entered into Capernaum, and after some days it was noise that he was in the house." There's something happening in the house. Jesus was there, and it mattered. Amen. When Jesus is in the house, it matters. It mattered. People got excited. They told the folks around town that Jesus is in the house. And now there's something happening in the house. And it is productive days. In verse number 1, it said that he was there for some days. After some days, it was noise that he was in the house. I don't know all of what was happening in these days, but it was important enough to spread the news around town. I think what he was doing was what he always did. I think what he was doing while he was in the house, he was preaching the word, he was working miracles, and he was teaching the truth. He was just doing Jesus things. I mean, he was doing what Jesus does when he's in the house. And I'm going to tell you, when he's in the house, what he does matters. When he's in the house, what he does ought to get us excited. Having Jesus is in the house, what he does, we ought to tell somebody about it. Amen. There's something happening in the house. There are productive days. And then there is a packed house. I mean, they can't get in for the press. Verse number 2 said the people came from everywhere. And they stood around and they gathered together. And they were there insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. People came from everywhere. There were so many you couldn't get in the door. They likely are sitting in the windows and standing all around. It's a packed house. There is a productive days in a packed house. But there's something going on in the house because it's preaching time. Amen. It's preaching time. And verse 2 at the end of the verse said, "And he preached the word unto them." Oh, Jesus didn't just draw a crowd. He did something with it. Amen. He didn't just draw a crowd. He did something with it. Oh, Lord, help us
prophets, I'm feeling the street crawl up my leg right about now. I'm telling you, they can draw a crowd down at the dirt track, at the flea market, at the tractor pull. I can draw a crowd for a Halloween party. My friend, the races and the ball games, for the Comic-Con conventions. God help us. Lord, help a grown man and a grown woman who'd go to a Comic-Con convention. That makes me want to vomit. Oh, God, help us. And all across the world, they draw a crowd for that kind of stuff. My friend, but at the house of God, when Jesus is in the house, and when he's preaching the word into them, it ought to attract people unto the Lord, and we ought to be excited enough about it that we tell somebody. And then when they get here, we need to have more than they got down at the racetrack. And when I say more, I don't mean more people. That'd be fine too. But we ought to have more to offer. And I'm not talking about peanuts and popcorn and cotton candy, hot dogs and pizza. Amen. I mean, we need to have something for man's souls. Jesus didn't just draw a crowd. He did something with it. Amen. It was preaching time. He preached the word unto them. Oh, praise God, how many in our modern church world are filling buildings, but they're not doing anything with it. I mean, friend, they're putting people in the pews, but they're talking current events. They are promoting woke religion. That's enough to make all of us sick, and I assure you it makes God sick. They're promoting woke religion. Oh, God, help us. The Dove Awards are supposed to be, supposedly, about recognizing Christian music artists and their accomplishments over each year. They are, if you will, somewhat the so-called Christian equivalent to the Grammys. And when we need a Christian equivalent to anything, there's something wrong with us. Amen. I mean, we don't have to copy what the world does. We don't have to, my friend, blend in with what the world does. And we don't have to compete with what the world does. But my friend, this past week and week and a half ago, at the Dove Awards, one of the prominent Christians, so-called, I'll use that term very loosely, small c, a prominent Christian artist, decided to cross-dress, going to the Dove Awards to show solidarity with their trans and queer Christian friends. Their words, not mine. Had to show solidarity with them, to show that they had forfeited their privilege as a straight men and were now identifying with those who were less privileged. Can I tell you who's got privilege this morning? People that know Jesus is in the house. Of those who have forgiveness of sins, and to those who are walking with the Lord. God help us. Listen, friend. Hey, if that's the rot gut that's coming from the pulpit of some outfit called a church, and a lot of times they don't call it a church anyway, it's called Elevation, or it's called the Rock, or it's called the Point, or it's called the Verge, or it's called the something, and they don't call it the church. But if it's called a church, if it's called something else, if that's the rot gut that's coming from the pulpit, you couldn't run fast enough to get away from it. I mean, you ought to run like somebody's chasing you, because they are, and his name's the devil, and you better get out of there while you can. Amen. If that place doubles as a venue for rock concerts on Saturday night and then pretends to have church there on Sunday morning, you run from that outfit as fast as what you can. Amen. If the priority of that place is the popcorn machine and the, my friend, the coffee shop in the lobby instead of the Word of God, you better run from that outfit as soon as what you can. Matter of fact, I say, with the Word of God, you have houses to eat in. Amen. May the Lord have mercy on us. Listen, hey, if you need a popcorn machine and a fountain drink center, have my friend, maybe a, what do they call them, Coca-Cola machines, got free flow or Everflow or something other like that, where you can just get every kind of Coca-Cola out of the same machine if you want to. Freestyle, that's what they call them. Freestyle, that's probably going to be on your test next week. But Brother Daniel's going to work for Coca-Cola this week. And since I can't preach on motorcycles and get under his assistant, system, I got to preach on the freestyle machine. Help of my friend, your qualifications to me. Help my friend a part of that church as they need a freestyle machine in the lobby. And you got to have you a big tub full of popcorn cooking coconut oil so you can be entertained while you're there. And you treat it like a movie theater. You need to get right with God. And then you need to run from that outfit that is calling themselves a church or something similar. When Jesus got a crowd in the house, he did something with it. He preached the word unto them. And when you preach the word, you're instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. A friend, and you'll preach some things that not everybody will like. And some folks will disagree with. And somebody will get upset about. And somebody will get mad about. And somebody will say you rubbed the cat the wrong way. And all I know to tell them is to turn the cat around. Amen. And may God have mercy on us. And we need to preach the word in this generation. There's something happening in the house. Amen. May the Lord help us. Now, if you came this morning, we don't have smoke machines and we don't have popcorn machine and we don't have freestyle machine. Praise God. If you're real thirsty, we'll get you a little water to sip on. If you're real hungry, if you'll hang around long enough after church, we'll make sure you don't go to the house starved to death. But right now, we're setting priorities. And right now, it's preaching time. Amen. And if we're going to do something productive, my friend, while the crowd's in the house, and share the word with them. This is more important than candy pullings. More important, I appreciate it. Listen, we're going to have fall festival on Saturday, and we're going to eat, we're going to have fellowship, and we're going to have a good time. And listen, it might be preaching time Saturday night. It might be that while we're eating bowls of chili and soup and sandwiches, it might be we need to push that aside and have preaching on Saturday night. It's not scheduled, but if the Holy Ghost says so, that's what we'll do. But right now, it is preaching time. And friend, we need to prioritize. We need to get our priorities in order. And when the crowd's in the house, preach the word unto them. May the Lord help us. Our Sunday school classes, I appreciate Sunday school around here. I appreciate it being centered around the Word of God. Oh, my friend, hey, you preachers know what I'm talking about. Go somewhere to preach. And going to Sunday school is just about key. It's so bad you can't preach. By the time they get done with this old boy up the road and this old boy down the road and that fellow down there at work said, and all the foolishness that you hear in Sunday schools and churches. I'm telling you, I'm thankful for a church where they make the Word of God the center of Sunday school. And we need to share the Word of God. At your house, you need to make the Word of God the center of it all. I don't make the Bible, that old book we read from while the preacher's preaching on Sunday. I mean, friend, make sure the Word of God has a prominent place in your house. Amen, friend. Praise God. I'm privileged. You're privileged. You're living a generation where we can have a copy of the Word of God, have multiple copies of the Word of God. I don't know how many Bibles we have at our house. I don't know, probably 25 or more. But I thank the Lord we're privileged to have a copy of the Word of God. And when we come together with a house full, he preached the Word unto them. And I'm not telling you how you have to run your family reunions, but some of you, it's been so long since you've shared the gospel of your family. The next time you have a meal, you probably ought to call all the youngest to gather around and not say the blessing until they all sit down and hush a minute. And you testify of the goodness of what God has done in your heart and let them know how glad you are to be saved. And tell every one of them how they need to be saved too and how you want them to go to heaven with you. And you haven't got to do that till the food gets cold. But if you'll just share a little bit of something, it might be that one of them gets under Holy Ghost conviction and you can both dispense with a meal and start with a praying and see God do some good in your family. Amen. Yes. Make the Word the center and the focus of your life. Amen. Yes. There's something going on in the house. Something happening in the house. Well, I got to move on this morning. There's not only something happening in the house. There's something happening outside of the house. Praise God. While in the house, the crowd's there and Jesus is preaching. Outside the house, in verse number 3 and 4, there's some fellows that's got a friend. And they say, we got to get him to Jesus. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. By the way, this is the way the ratio angels ought to work. Four saints going after one sinner. It ought not to be one person burdened about 50 people that are lost. My friend, if somebody around you is lost, everybody that you know around you that knows Jesus ought to get under the burden with you and help you carry that burden. Amen. That's one of the great things about the men's prayer room. They get around, pray for one another's lost loved ones. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sometimes I hear the men praying and they'll go in the circle, individually around the circle. And Lord, this one over there's got that family member. This one here's got that cousin. That one's got a son. This one's got a daughter. That one's got a daddy. And they're praying for every one of them. I want to pray for your lost loved ones. You ought to get under the burden with me for mine. And we pray one for another. And four men went after one man that needed to get to Jesus. They got under the burden together. And they said, let's get him to the Lord. Amen. Something's happening in the house, but something's outside, happening outside the house. Can I tell you when something happens in this house, the church house, something will happen when you go outside this house. Amen. If something happens to you in here, and the Lord preaches the word to you, and you get filled with the Holy Ghost, He'll make you witnesses unto Him in Judea and Jerusalem, in Samaria, in the uttermost parts of the earth, and that's where we are. And my friend, you'll leave out of here, and something will happen when you get out of the house, if something happens to you while you're in the house. Amen. Makes me happy in the Lord. If I had half a voice, I'd shout out loud and run down the aisle this morning. And somebody might have to just do it in my honor. Amen. And help me. Oh, my. Praise God. There is something happening outside the house. There's something happening with a crippled man outside the house. Y'all want to tell you something, friend? All outside of this house, there are cripples all over our town. I don't mean men lame on their legs. I mean, friend, the people that are lame in their souls. People who cannot walk with the Lord. People who need forgiveness. And of God, they need God to help them. They need the Lord, my friend, to put them on solid ground. To set their feet upon a rock and establish their goings. There's cripples outside the house. We don't know this man's history, but we do know that he's bedridden. He's unable to help himself. He's unable to walk right. And he couldn't resolve his own problem. And that's why they had to get him to Jesus. And that's where every lost person is today. Unable to resolve their problem. Unable to walk right. And they need to get to where Jesus is. Doesn't really matter why he's lame. It matters that he's lame. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Well, this fellow over here, you know, he's got the drinking problem. And that one over there's got a cussing problem. And this one over here, you know, he gets around. And that woman there, she should rather climb a tree and tell a lie than she had to stand on the ground and tell the truth. It doesn't really matter why they are lame. What matters is that they are lame. Amen? It does not matter why that you are a sinner. Maybe your sin is different than somebody else. And by the way, you are a sinner because you're a sinner. You was born that way. And you are a sinner because you behaved like a sinner. In that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you do what you do because you are what you are. And the real problem you have is not just that you have sinned, but that you are a sinner. Amen, friend. Well, my. You know why the liquor drinker gets all wrapped up in his liquor? Because he's a sinner. He's not a sinner because he's a drinker. He's a drinker because he's a sinner. And you know why the one that cusses all the time and has a filthy mouth, you know why he does that? He's not a sinner because he's a cusser. He's a cusser because he's a sinner. And the one that runs around on his wife and flirts with every woman in town, my friend, he's not a carouser. He's not a sinner because he's a carouser. He's a carouser because he's a sinner. And your problem and mine is a sin problem. The crippled man. There's plenty of cripples that need Jesus. Let's help get them to the Lord. There's something happening outside the house. There's a crippled man. There's something happening outside the house. There are caring friends. Praise God for somebody who loved this man enough that said we've got to get him to Jesus. He had four friends. I tell you, if a man's got four friends that knows Jesus, he's got something. He had four friends. friends that said, I want to get him to Jesus. They got under a burden to help a man who couldn't help himself, and the best thing they could do was to get him to the Lord. And in verse 5, when they broke the roof up and put him in front of Jesus, the Bible said, when he, that is the Lord, saw their faith, that is the faith of the five, the faith of the man on the bed, and the faith that of the four men that brought him to him. And when Jesus saw the faith of the five, how you see, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. They diligently sought him, tore the roof off to get to him, said Jesus can help him. The Lord saw their faith, and he rewarded their faith working in this man's life. Amen.
Hallelujah. When you see God do something in the life of somebody you've been praying for, you talk about reward. You talk about making you happy. You talk about fulfillment. You talk about joy. When God saves somebody you've been praying for, when, hey, listen, especially when it's somebody close to you. Maybe it's a mom or a dad or a brother or a sister, a husband, a wife, a son or daughter, a niece or a nephew. Oh, when you see God do something in their lives, you talk about a faith-building exercise. It'll make you happy all over more than anywhere else in particular. Amen. I mean, it'll make you rejoice in the Lord. And that this, my friend, this crippled man had caring friends. Something's happening outside the house. I wonder when the world looks at our church, do they just say there's something happening in the house and there's something happening outside the house?
Amen.
He had crippled man caring friends, and then there's a cover removed. They got to where Jesus was. They said, we can't get in the door. And that there's a crowd here and we can't get in the door. They arrived at the packed house that we already referenced. They couldn't get in the door. Folks wouldn't get out of the way. Oh my, let me say this in passing parenthetically. You couldn't see Jesus for the congregation. Never get in the way of a crippled man who has a need to get to Jesus. I mean, friend, don't ever get in the way of some cripple that needs to get to Jesus. If it offends my brother for me to eat meat, as long as I live, I'll eat no meat. The Apostle Paul said, if there's some reason why I was doing something that was hindering somebody from getting right with God, I'd just get in the quitting business. I wouldn't do it anymore. I don't want to get in the way. I don't want to get in between somebody and Jesus. I wonder this morning, do you have that same attitude in your life? I don't want to get in between somebody and Jesus. I don't want to get in the way of somebody knowing the Lord. And the crowds were too large. So they took the man to the roof and tore it off and let him down through the ceiling. Amen. They cared so much, they were willing to do something different. They were willing to do something unusual. They were willing to do something costly. Can you imagine being there to see this? In this day, most of the roofs would be slightly elevated. But not completely flat, but close to flat, with a small pitch on it. And there they would take it on top of the roof. They would lay boards, you know, and not usually sawn lumber as we would think, but, you know, sticks that had been sized out to be relatively equal in size across that roof. And then they would thatch it across the sideways. My friend, sometimes with straw, and oftentimes with other brush or with palm branches, and then come back across it again that third time, so that you've got it sewn in one direction again, and then again, and they would sew it again, and then on that third round through, they would plaster over it with mud and slick it off and let it dry in the sun and become like a brick or a stone on top of the roof. And then on the inside, they would, those who had finished out their homes would do basically the same thing for the ceiling. And it's so likely, the way that it's described in this place, that they let him down through the ceiling. That not only did they tear the roof off, but then up under it there was another layer there of wood again and plaster on the underside and in the ceiling. And Jesus was in the house up under all of that. And can you imagine, they take this old boy to sit around, and they would often have a ladder already there because they would get up on top of the roof and sometimes wash the clothes and hang them out to dry or other activities, maybe dry fruits and maybe get some apples or have some
some prunes or something and dry them out so as to preserve in the sun on the rooftop. And there'd often be a ladder there. They climbed the ladder. But now they got to get the cripple in the bed up the ladder. And here they are dragging him up the ladder. Got to be very inconvenient and hard and difficult. And somebody's hollering, "Don't drop him." Another one saying, "What in the world's going on?" About that time, while the preaching's going on, they hear stomping around on the roof. They're likely at Peter's house in Capernaum. It's likely Peter's house where they are. That's where most of the time they would resort to. I'm assuming that it is his house. And Peter wonders who's up on top of the roof. And what in the Sam Hill are they doing while they are up there? And they're stomping around on top of the roof. And that's bad enough. And then he hears the sound of a hammer and a saw and a drill. And he's all worried and upset. Next thing you know, the ceiling starts cracking and crumbling. And they can't get in the house. And here Peter is on the inside scared to death and he can't get out. That same crowd that was in their way is in Peter's way. And he's wondering what in the world's going on. And Jesus knows exactly what's happening and he's still just preaching on through it. Hallelujah. By the way, sinners trying to get to Jesus doesn't bother him. Amen. It hasn't made him nervous. He's not upset. I mean, friend, he will patiently and earnestly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. Oh, sinner, come home. Amen. Hallelujah. It makes some of you nervous whenever sinners get in the altar and they're wrestling with God and they're fighting with the Lord and you hear the sounds of saws and hammers and drills going on. But the Lord's sitting in heaven just waiting for them to break through. Amen. And that's what he is doing, just in the house waiting for them to break through. You can have a breakthrough this morning. Hallelujah. You can get to where Jesus is. And so they're sawing and they're hammering and they're drilling and they're trying to get a breakthrough. And when they break through one layer, there's another layer. And when they break through one layer, there's another layer. And seem like they're never going to get through everything. Sinners, sometimes you have to break through several things. You're going to have to break through your pride. You're going to have to break through your, my friend, of the idea of public opinion. You're going to have to break through the idea of professional church. Anybody listening to Sunday school lesson this morning? Hey, you're going to have to break through some things. How to get to where God is. That is, give him all. Amen. Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Jesus. And praise God for those who helped me break through. Amen. The man lames on the bed. I don't know how much drilling and sawing and hammering he's doing. I got a feeling mostly he's just hanging around and waiting while they break through. Hallelujah. Praise God for those who prayed for me. They took time out of their lives. They got on their knees and they touched heaven for me. Hallelujah. Praise God for those who broke through for me to make it a little easier for me to have a breakthrough. Hallelujah. And they broke through the roof and then they broke through the ceiling. And while Jesus is preaching and Peter's panicking, and my friend, they're plowing through the roof and the ceiling's coming apart and it's crumbling, and about that time a big old chunk of it just falls right into the floor. Amen. And they wonder what in the world's happening. And the Jesus looks up in there, sees the man, knows exactly what's going on. He's not surprised by it at all. And they start, my friend, to taking pulleys and ropes and easing things around and poking that man through the hole in the roof and letting him down to where Jesus is. And the crowd that was abuzz is now all shocked. They're picking their chins up off the floor. Amen. And they have all been shocked by what's happening and they're wondering what in the world Jesus is going to do. Something's happening in the house. Something's happening outside the house. Then I want to tell you there's something happening inside the multitude. All the crowd that's there that day, there's something happening inside of them. Verses 5 through 10. Jesus looks at the man and says, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And then after Jesus looks at the man, they all look at one another. Can I tell you something this morning? If you're looking at one another instead of looking at Jesus, you're looking in the wrong place. If you're looking towards others, you're looking in the wrong place. And then they looked at themselves. The Bible said they reasoned in their hearts. If you're looking at yourself and you're looking at others, you're looking
in the wrong place. But if you look to Jesus, you can live. If you look to Jesus, you can have forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. There's something happening in the multitude. It began with a paralytic man. Forgive him. In verse 5, Jesus said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And Jesus said it in Matthew 18 and 8. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. For it is better to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. You see, the Lord met his most important need first, and then he also gave him power to walk. A friend, your greatest need is not to walk, but it is to walk in forgiveness with the Lord. This man, some of them said, why did he try to forgive his sins? That's more important than having good legs. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Mills has been telling me the last several weeks, I've been praying about this. Sister Judy's been having some trouble with her legs. And I've been praying about that. I hadn't got a report update on it this week, but I've been praying about that every day. Been praying about that. But I'm going to tell you what's more important than having good legs. It's walking in forgiveness with the Lord. Get to heaven, have brand new legs. Hallelujah. Amen. Sister Brianna used to walk around on the crutches. She got around pretty good on them for a while. Matter of fact, she walked for a number of years on crutches. And of course, most of her pressure, most of her weight is on her arms. She's stout. Y'all don't mess with her. She's muscle bound. Amen. Oh, but her legs don't work just right. But what's more important than having good legs is having the ability to walk in forgiveness with the Lord. You see, if you walk in forgiveness with the Lord, you don't have to have good legs when you get to glory. God will give you a brand new set. Amen. He'll give you a brand new body, and there'll be nothing wrong with that body on that day. But if you don't walk in forgiveness with the Lord, you'll go into hell with your legs as they are, and you'll spend forever, however you are, separated from the Lord. It's more important for your sin to be forgiven than for your walking to be restored. Amen. The paralytic forgiven, and then there's something happening inside the multitude. There's power that is questioned. They looked around at one another and said, who does he think he is? I mean, just exactly what does he mean, having power to forgive sins? Why nobody can forgive sins but God? And that's right, that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. They questioned if he's a blasphemer. That simply means they didn't believe him to be Messiah, but only God has the power to forgive sins. The Lord is taking this occasion to deal with their unbelief. The Lord's doing something in the multitude. The paralytic's forgiven and the power's questioned. And then the perception is revealed. Not only did he have the power to forgive the sins of the paralytic and the power to, my friend, know what those men were thinking, but he had the power to reveal it to them all. Now I'm going to tell you, one of these days we're going to stand before the one who will declare the secrets of men by Jesus Christ in the book of Romans chapter 2. And he has the power to reveal all. While they questioned the Lord in verses 8 through 10, they did it silently. But he declared it unto all. And that which has been done in the corner is going to be shouted from the rooftop one day, friend. Well, listen, he shows. I practiced that line all week this week. He shows who he is by what he knows. He shows who he is by what he knows. Oh, I want to say that one more time, especially since I worked on it all week. He shows who he is by what he knows. And I'm telling you, friend, he will show it in your life. I mean, he'll show it in the preaching of the Word of God. How many times have you, if you'll be honest with yourself, you sat on the pew, the preacher got up, he preached. You looked around at your wife or your husband and you said, why did you tell him about what happened at the house this week? I told you to keep your mouth shut and not tell the preacher. He's been up there reading your mail and he hadn't even looked in your mailbox. He's been up there preaching your story and he don't even know your story. You see, the Lord shows who he is by what he knows. I mean, seemed like the night I got saved, that preacher, the longer he preached, the more he preached right to me. Everything
he said was about me. Every illustration he used was about me. Every verse of scripture was about me. The whole message was to me. There's 2,000 people or more there that night, and everything he preached was to a 13-year-old boy. There's about 300 people come to the altar and said they got saved. I don't know if any of them did or not, but I know one who did. It all, you see, seemed like it was for me. He shows who he is by what he knows.
Amen. And then he shows who we are by what he knows. When you see who the Lord is, you'll see who you are. And when you see who you are, you won't jump up and down and say, "Hey, Lord, look at me. Ain't I awesome? How great I am. How great I am." Buddy, that'll not be it. Whenever you see him, who he is, you see who you are, you'll say, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips." Amen. Perception revealed. And then he does this. He said, "I just did it, not because it was easier for me to say, 'Thy son, thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk,' but I did it that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Hallelujah. By the way, his power to forgive sins was on earth. Did y'all catch that? That the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. If you're going to get your sins forgiven, you better do it while on earth, while you are here. There will be no opportunity when you're gone from this world. You're going to have to get deal with your sin problem while you're here. And then I'm finishing with this. I am beginning to close, Caitlin. There's something going on in the house. There's something happening outside the house. There's something happening inside the multitude. And then there's something happening to the lame man. Verses 10 through 12, Jesus looks at the lame man and says, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, "I say unto these, arise, take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house." And immediately he arose, took up his bed and went forth before them all. The forgiveness takes place in verse 10. The most important thing is that the forgiveness of sins, he was forgiven. He said, "Arise," in verse number 10, "that you may know that the Son may have power on earth to forgive sins." The most important thing. And then when he was forgiven, friend, he was able to walk. Before he could walk, he had to first have the knowledge that the sin problem was resolved. Spiritual application here. You'll never walk like a Christian until you are one. As somebody said, "I'll get saved when I can live it." You won't ever live it till you get saved. When I can do it and not be a hypocrite, you won't do that. Friend, until you get born again, you can't live without the liver in you. You've got to have somebody in your life to live it through you. The man couldn't walk until he first was forgiven. And you won't walk right until you get your sin problem dealt with. I've tried to do better. I've turned over a new leaf. You know, I quit going here. I quit doing that. I started doing a bunch of other good things. I'm giving to charity. You know, that's good. Giving to charity is a good thing. Brother Matthew especially likes it. When you give to charity, he likes that. Amen. Some of y'all catch up in a little bit. Oh, friend, giving to charity is all right. But whenever you are saved, the Lord deals with your heart. He deals with your sin problem. And then you walk right because you're right. You don't walk right to become right. You don't become a Christian because you've done the works of a Christian, but you do the works of a Christian because Christ has done his work in your life. There's something happening to the lame man, the forgiveness. There's something happening to the lame man, the favor. Jesus in verse 5, I'm backtracking, but in verse 5, Jesus calls the man son. "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." We have no record that this man's ever met Jesus before. We have no record that they are relatives of some sort. My friend, we have no record that he really even knows Jesus. But the Bible said Jesus called him son. Now that he has met Jesus, Jesus calls him son. Oh, when you meet him in forgiveness of sins, you can be a member of the family. He'll say, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Praise God. Oh, hey, to them that believe gave me the power to become the sons of God. There's a favor, there's forgiveness. Something happened to the lame man, there's a freshening. Verse 12, he stood up, he carried his bed, and he walked around in front of all of them. His entire existence was freshened. He had a new lease on life. Then there's the following. He's now a new man. He's forgiven. He's ready to walk in forgiveness with the Lord. I wonder, are you following him and how you walk? And I'm finishing with a fashion. In verse 12, they looked around when they saw this. They were all amazed and they glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion."
Right.
That is, we ain't never seen nothing like that before in our born days.
Yeah.
Little fellow at church this week, he's about 3 years old. And they had a little mischief going on in fellowship hall, clowning and playing and whatever. He's about 3 years old. And one of them said something about all the food taking a little bit longer than what it should. And some of them was clowning and picking on one another and this sort of thing. The baked potatoes didn't get done in time. And the little fellow out loud just jumped up and he hollered. He said, "Well, I ain't never in all my born days." 3 years old. All his born days hadn't been all that long. Amen. The crowd, young and old that day, looked around at what Jesus had done and said, "Well, I ain't never in all my born days seen anything like this before. We've never seen it on this fashion." One born of four walked in forgiveness with the Lord. The story was so much bigger than just this one. Jesus wanted us to know that he has power of forgiveness. If you have sin trouble this morning, you can never help yourself. But Jesus has the power to forgive your sin. And today would be the day to seek him while he may be found. Sister Tanya's coming to sing us a verse of a song. I want to read one portion of Scripture to close out the service and just give you what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Everybody stand, please. I've shared with you what the Lord has put on my heart. One born of four walked in forgiveness with the Lord. I want to thank the Lord for helping me try to preach today. Didn't know if we'd be able to say a word that'd be of value or not. But the Lord helped us, and I want to thank Him for that. Do you need to pray this morning? Is your heart touched? Has God drawn you near to Himself? Would you come and seek after the Lord? Sing for us when you're ready. Some are praying. Others need to. One born of four walked in forgiveness with the Lord. My greatest need is the need for forgiveness. And Jesus can do it this morning. For you and for me. And watching. Watching for you, watching for me. Lord, help me be one of those four. Lord, I want to be one who gets people to Jesus. I don't want to be one of the guys standing in the way. I don't want to be a critic. I want to be one that helps people to get to Jesus. Tenderly, Jesus is calling. Oh, sinner, come home. Thank you. Jesus. He's pleading for you and for me. Calling out to you the same as he did to Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, thank God for his mercy. Hallelujah for his sweet call. Lord, I want to thank you for what you're doing in the house this morning. I want to thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in this congregation when we leave this house, outside the house. I thank you for what you've done in the multitude, but Lord, I thank you this morning for what you've done in me. Yes. Father, I pray that you'd cement this message in our hearts. I want to walk in the forgiveness that you have put in my life. You worked it in, and I want to work it out. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to walk worthy of the vocation whereunto we are called. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. Help us to draw nigh to you. We know you'll draw nigh to us. Bless this congregation, everyone. Draw those that are lost unto yourself. Help us, Lord, to be part of the solution for them and not part of the problem. Help us to live for you and shine the light of the gospel. Lord, for what you do, we give you honor and glory and praise for it. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You obeyed the Lord, done everything the Holy Ghost would have you to do in the meeting this morning. Yes, sir. Amen.
God is the God of his church.
Amen. Amen.
And in him this be God.
That's right.
Everything else will take
care of you. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I spent a lot of time in those verses this week. Wanted to preach out of them. The Lord wouldn't give me liberty, but he let me study there. And I'm grateful for it. Encouraged my heart. Reminded me that while Israel is still fighting their Messiah, the Lord's wrestling with them until they submit. And there's going to be a day when they will.
Amen.
And they'll bring in their king, and some will say, "Be you lift up your doors, you everlasting doors. Be you lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." And who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Amen. Lord mighty in battle, the Lord of hosts, He is the King of glory. Psalm 24, they're going to welcome their King for long. Hallelujah. But He'll shepherd them until that day comes. What great mercy. If you obeyed the Lord, done what the Holy Ghost would have you to do in the meeting.